And welcome, friends, to the Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We are live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and we want to welcome each and every one of you to the Thursday edition of our broadcast and our podcast. Our podcast, of course, can be heard on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher. And, of course, you can listen to us live at gracehour.org. And welcome to the Thursday edition of our broadcast. And we're going to get things started right away. I'll be your host today. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining us in the studio is Pastor Tom Schaller. And we're going to continue our discussion this week, as we have throughout our previous broadcasts, on the subject of money, wealth. And today we'll focus on a question. Well, we'll ask this question. Is it okay to be wealthy? This is something that believers have inquired about, asked about, debated about, and we'll tackle that question and several others as well as the program proceeds. You can, of course, join us anytime you like during the broadcast. The phone lines will remain open, or you can join us live on our chat, and you can weigh in that way. Make a comment, ask a question. One way or the other, we hope that many of you will weigh in and join us live. The phone numbers are as follows. Toll-free in all of North America, 800-338-7060, and the local number, 410-483-3700. Well, Pastor Schaller, this is a subject that, money impacts and affects and touches all of us, but having a proper perspective, a biblical perspective about this subject, is all important. So your thoughts in regard to wealth, money, finances, I know that we can have our own opinions and our own thoughts about it, but safer, of course, always to be biblical when we tackle a subject like this.
Yeah, I love the subject, and I like being with you, Pastor Love, and our program today. What do you think of that?
I appreciate that. I feel the same way, having you here in the studio.
Yeah. Maybe the question is, is it okay to be wealthy? Maybe we should look at the question a little bit, because it may be okay to be wealthy, but is it wise to be wealthy? There is a proverb, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 7. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Is it okay to be wealthy? Yeah, but is it wise to be wealthy? Maybe. But here there's a warning by the wise man is saying, like, don't give me poverty, but neither give me riches. Now, why? Because maybe I can't control my heart. Because Jesus said in the famous prayer, lead me not into temptation. And we have to ask the question, is it okay to be wealthy? Yeah, but not if it will lead you down the wrong road or you start to love money. And I think that's what happens when you get wealth. You start to love the wealth because money is a form of power. Convenience answers problems. It makes your life easier, more comfortable. And there's many good things about money, but it can take my heart away. And I end up looking more at the money than I am at God. So, however, that being said, can a wealthy man have money and not have his heart on that money in the wrong way? Well, let's make another parallel here. Is it okay for a man to be married to a beautiful woman? We would say, yeah, absolutely, that would be great. But then what if that beauty and that love that he has for the woman morphs into jealousy or insecurity or possessiveness? Then the issue isn't the woman, the issue is his heart. The issue isn't the money, it's his heart. It's not his possessions, but it's his heart. So that maybe is a little bit of a way we can just a comment on it, and we'll go into what the words of Jesus are about the subject. And we could look at Matthew 6. We can read these. And actually, did you want to say anything about what I just said, Pastor?
No, I love that approach toward it, because when this subject is discussed, again, people can get focused on the wealth and the success and the money, and then how to be a good steward of it and what I'm supposed to do with it. Answer the question, is it okay to be wealthy? I mean, I think that you've gone beyond that to the real matter, the real issue, which is someone's heart.
Yeah.
If the money can corrupt your heart or can cause you to be distracted or can become an idol in your life, well, that's extremely dangerous, and we would warn people to stay clear of that.
Yeah, maybe is it okay to go downtown on a Friday night? Well, for some people, maybe it wouldn't be good. Is it okay to live in a beautiful home? Maybe, yes. Who wouldn't want it? And to deny that and to say in some legalistic form, you know, that's not allowed. That's not what we're saying. But we're talking more about another subject, and that is wisdom. How does wisdom govern our life? And how about these words that Jesus spoke? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. And what does he say? You know it, verse Matthew 6:19. Pastor Love, do you know it by heart? Where moth
and rust doth corrupt.
Yes. And where thieves
break in and steal.
Okay, so we have, what is he saying? That there are things in life that we desire and even go after, but they can also disappear. And this is, you know, in Proverbs 23, when it talks about getting more money. Has that happened to you, Pastor Love, where you got more money, and what happened to that money that you got?
It always seems to sprout wings and flies away.
Unless you are Pastor Taggart. Where is that?
Yeah.
What happens? Okay, chapter 23, verse 5, to the folks listening, Pastor Taggart, we pick on him because he's Scottish and he has a very good sense of handling money and running our organization, actually, financially. Verse 5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. You set your eyes on that which maybe is going to disappear anyway. So I'm not, yeah, I mean, there's so many different angles to the subject, but I do want to say we are not fools when we set our hearts on something higher than those things that we could get and disappear. You know, I know of a case where a man, a medical doctor, gave himself to his career. His kids grew up in his house. He was rarely home. He was on call doing surgeries and working hard and making a career and making money and so on. And then his kids graduated from high school and went to college. And then in the empty house, he and his wife, in the empty house, just were reflecting, you know, did we miss something? Did we miss raising our kid? Did we miss our family? Did we miss something along the way? Did we set our eyes on something that really we kind of made a miscalculation? So whenever we talk about something on the earth that has this kind of power, whether it is beauty with a woman or a man, or a situation with housing and business and opportunities, or money and my career, and maybe investments and sacrifice, whenever you look at something where it could be extremely beneficial to you, you have to be careful and pray for wisdom, because we have enough warnings in the Bible where the man built bigger barns. We have that story. We have the woman who gave two mites in the offering, and she took Jesus' breath away. And he said to her, and he said to the disciples, see this woman, well, she's given her whole living, you know. So we have Solomon, and he has the prosperity in his kingdom, and then we have the story of his wives. We have the gold, the story of the gold with Queen of Sheba. We have his many wives, and how the human heart, I don't believe we're able to handle the temptations that can be presented to us without the wisdom and the guidance and the care of God. And just think, if Jesus came into the world and he set his heart upon money, we wouldn't have a Savior.
Wow.
You know, just think if Peter or Paul set their hearts on something else and it's there, but you set your heart on that thing and how you can miss the other thing. Or like the medical doctor set his heart on his career, but then just realized, I don't even know my kids.
It seems that what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, reminding them not to look at the things which can be seen, which are temporal. If we can keep in the front of our hearts and minds that the temporal nature of riches, of wealth, it's passing. You cannot keep it. It's going to appear, and then it's going to very quickly disappear, like the nature of our lives here on the earth. It's passing. And if you attempt to go after that which is passing, it's like chasing the wind. You're going to keep going after it. Because a lot of wealthy people, when you ask them, you know, do you have enough wealth? Have you accumulated enough wealth? Most of the time they say, no, not yet, as they continue to pursue it and seek after it, only to discover in the end that you can't get it. You can't hold on to it. It's going to sprout those wings and fly away.
Yeah, did I read that proverb?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought I did.
Yeah.
And then go back to Matthew 6, and I'll just read that. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's a good indicator. If I find in my heart how much I enjoy the power that I have by my wealth or my career, maybe the power I have by influential people being around me, I've really built a world where maybe that is my treasure. What people say about me, how much they respect me, how wealthy I may be, what clubs I belong to, that's maybe where my treasure is, and that's where my heart is. And the warning is here, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. If your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. Now, the story there, a human body, let's say 80 kilos or 160 pounds, and then the human eye, how many grams? If you compare the two, the whole body and the weight of the body, and also the function of the body, running, using your hands, hanging from a bar, athletically, sleeping, your whole body, and then your eye is so small, you know, weight-wise, volume-wise, size-wise, is so small. But the eye is so powerful that I don't think blind people can run, by the way. I don't think they can run or exercise like, you know, as seeing people. So it will affect their body. If their eye is blind or dark, their whole body will be affected by that. You know, your way of life, what you eat, how you eat, and all of this because you don't have an eye. So, what is the I in the story? Is where I put my heart, my treasure. What my heart sees as being valuable. And of course, Jesus is talking about God. If my eye is light and I am looking at God, then that will affect the whole rest of the thing. Using the body as a metaphor, it'll affect my whole life. If I have God in my eye, then it will affect my whole life. And that's a beautiful thing for a spirit-filled person. There have been many wealthy people in history, that had the light of God in their eye. And Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. And Joseph of Arimathea owned copper mines. He was a wealthy man. He was known by the Jewish authorities, but he believed in Christ. There was the Deere Tractors, Caterpillar owners, McCormick, back in the D.L. Moody days, had donated huge amounts of money. There have been entrepreneurs and businessmen in American history that have donated huge amounts of money to the Christian cause of evangelism and ministry. Money is a great tool. You know, where my heart is, and what a joy to give money away. What a joy to use money as a tool. What a joy, what a privilege it is for a believer to have his eye in the light, and that affects his business. JCPenney is another one. There have been many down through the time, Bill Bright, and many of these amazing Christian organizations that were financed, YMCA, financed by people that had a lot of money. Mm. And heaven will show how many amazing people who had it and used it as a great tool to bring the message, you know, to people.
It's interesting because you have people that you just mentioned that could and did use their wealth to enhance the kingdom of God. And then you, no doubt, there are other stories of people that had wealth that maybe intended to use it to enhance the kingdom of God, but that wealth, you know, stole their hearts. And their eye was single, but not toward God, but actually toward the wealth. And the interesting thing, and I think it's the book of Ecclesiastes that says, that the eye is never satisfied with what it sees. Okay. Like the ear is never satisfied with what it hears.
Yes.
Always longing for more. It's not enough. And that's one of the problems with, you know, money. It's like people, if they get a taste of it, it might create a real appetite to keep getting more, which could take you off track. Because a little further down in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus put it all in perspective and said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. How can that really be the approach of the believer?
You know, what you're saying, I have a little devotional here from Eve Stanley Jones called Undedicated Money. And just to read that, Jesus mentioned two things that choked the growing wheat and made it unfruitful. And this was the worry, right? The seed sown among thorns, that is the man who listens to the word. But the worry of the world and the delight of being rich choke the word, so it proves unfruitful. This worry and the delight of being rich, you know, like this is a very common thing in the human heart. But he doesn't say that money is the number one enemy, but instead the delight of being rich is the number one enemy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I remember John Wesley lived on £40 a year as pay as an Anglican pastor. And then he went evangelical and preaching in the countryside. And through his work, his money increased, but he continued to stay on a £40 a year budget. He didn't need the more money for himself. He just gave the money away or managed it a certain way. But I like that picture. Like, if you have enough food and raiment, be content. But you can imagine using money. Oh, now I will buy, you know, more of this and more of that, or I get to do this and do that. So then it might be that I have set my heart on the money in the wrong way, or dedicating it to a business, which is fine, but it would be better to dedicate the whole thing to God. Mm-hmm. It's all given to God. Now, God, you lead me what to do with the money, right?
Yeah.
You lead me what to do. And by the way, our society today is the richest society in the history of mankind. This is in the Western world. And we live, and yet a lot of people live in poverty. A lot of people have to struggle. A lot of people are looking to get another job. Now they have two jobs or three jobs. And then, actually, to be honest, many of the people that have jobs work from home, and they continue to work on the seventh day. We talked about the Sabbath last night. Mm-hmm. They continue to work in their career. They are working to make more money, maybe to get more and more and more, and not find the rest that Jesus has told us, that come unto me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Amazing. Well, you can join us anytime, friends. Weigh in on the chat line and ask a question that way, or share a comment, or give us a call. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And in Baltimore, you could join us at 410-483-3700. To go back to, you know, really the premise of today's broadcast, which is the heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can really comprehend the depths of that depravity? I don't think that neither of us can speak from the perspective of being wealthy, but there's something that we understand from the scriptures that really warns me, stay clear of it. And the reason why I would is because I don't know if I can trust my heart.
Yeah.
If like the old hymn says, you know, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Mm-hmm. Prone to leave the God I love. If that already exists within me, and then you add wealth to that, I'm not so sure that I could be entrusted with that.
That is a good word.
Yeah. I couldn't trust myself. Well,
and you've been associated with NBA basketball players. We all know in the NFL, the salaries, 75% of the men are in debt. They make millions of dollars. How they plow through money. They lose a lot of money. They give a lot of money to family, extended family. They buy houses. They plow through the money. It is amazing. What is lacking? It's not a question of the money. It's a question of the heart. Mm. Do I lack the wisdom to manage my life? It applies to sex as well. Relationships with women or with men. Relationships, you know, in marriage, that's the best and the only way that is sanctioned by God. The marriage bed is undefiled. Marriage is a gift from God, but also being single is a gift too. But I'm just trying to say that in our very intense world, sexually charged, with so much of our culture revolving around that, and about covetousness. Mm. That's a word we haven't mentioned yet, but that is a very common word in our New Testament, covetousness. It's like wanting more. We cannot covet our neighbor's wife, our neighbor's goods, our neighbor's donkey, our neighbor's house. We cannot covet the things of our neighbor, but this is very common. We are not to be lusting after money. We are to set our hearts on something else that transcends the world. That's God. When you find God, you get both. You get God and the wisdom to live in this life. Whether you are in poverty or in wealth, you will have the wisdom to manage your affairs and to handle life in a proper way. Mm. Don't let the love of money or the anxieties of the world or the delight in riches choke out the word of God. But keep your heart right before God, and then you can manage what you have. Mm.
Isn't this exactly what Jesus was, the target that he was trying to hit, for instance, with the rich young ruler, who came to him and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And then Jesus responded and said, "Well, you know the commandments." And then he named several of them, and he said, "All these have I kept up from my youth." And then he said, "Well, this is what you need to do. Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come, take up your cross, follow me." That's when it stops. And then he leaves. He goes away very sorrowful because of his wealth. Mm-hmm. It's like Jesus, it wasn't a question of the wealth. It was a matter of the heart.
Yes.
And that's incredible that he would put his finger on that issue in that man's life, because that's what was keeping him. And then, of course, the disciples said, "Well, then, who can be saved?" Because in the Old Testament, wasn't wealth somewhat of a sign that God had blessed you? And yet here it was keeping this man from the kingdom.
Yes, yes, yes. It is not, there's like certain lust patterns that we all have. Wealth is one. Power is another one. Our love for our family is another one. So when I love my family too much, I need for God to show me that and check me. I think he does it in quote, privacy, in quiet, in my heart, in my own like closet, so to speak, when I'm alone by myself, and I bring my kids before God. And the Lord shows me somehow, like somehow in my heart, I realize I love my kids too much. And then I say that to God, "Lord, I love my kids very, very much." And then he says, like when Peter, when Jesus said to Peter, didn't he say regarding the fish that he had caught, "Do you love me more than these?" Remember that? Mm. Was it more than these? Is that the fish or the disciples? Or what was he pointing to? Do you love me more than these? Or how does it go? Do you remember it?
It could be. I guess you could put anything in there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You could fill in the blank.
These birds, the sky. These disciples, this lake, this country. Do you love me? What do you think of me? And the blessing of our lives is that the Spirit of God was able to show us who is Jesus. And then we kind of go back to that. That's kind of like our reverence for everything. You know, everything. It's like I got to go back to that, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoy my car. Let's say somebody buys a new car, you know. And they polish it, they wash it on Saturday. They love it very much. And then eventually, like the Lord could whisper to them, "Do you love this more than me?" You know, and you got to be honest about it. And maybe I do. Maybe I do, Lord. And then the Lord's go, "Okay, you got to realize that you are prone to this." And think of, you know, it's your call. It's your call. But after a year or two in your car, and you start to get tired of it, and you just say, "Yeah, Lord, you were right." I mean, it isn't fully satisfying. It is passing away. It's not enough for me. I am made for something greater than the love of a car or the love of a child. Sorry to say, but that's a great love. But still, you might say, no, that is a great love. Yes, it is a great love. And thank God for that.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it will change. And it's not, you are made for eternity.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amen. You can join us, friends. We still have several minutes left in the broadcast. So if you would like, go to your phone, dial this local number, 410-483-3700. Wealth among, let's talk about ministries and preachers. Wealth potentially can bring great reproach upon the name of Christ. The world often makes reference to those preachers or pastors, maybe they're nationally recognized, internationally recognized, who have accumulated a tremendous amount of wealth. And it's very disturbing to the hearts of those that are looking and saying, well, that's the essence of your faith. You're just looking for more money, and you're always seeking for money. It is true that in some cases, unfortunately, that desire for wealth or the accumulation of that wealth has brought reproach upon the name of Christ.
Yes, yes, yes. You can Google, you know, the richest preachers that are in the world. There's like, I did it one time, there were like 10 and millions, multi-millions. One had $750 million. I mean, huge amounts of money. So, but my judgment on that isn't stop there, because they may write books, they may get big royalties, they may sell a lot of books, and that means millions of dollars. So then how is it managed? You know, does it go to them only, or is it go to a foundation, or is there a committee over it, like the Billy Graham Foundation or Billy Graham Ministry? I mean, you don't judge a man simply by that. You know, and nobody, and I don't believe that we are to judge, because we, in order to judge, you have to know all things, really. You have to be everywhere present. Remember, Pastor Stevens used to teach us that.
That's right.
To judge somebody, you need to be everywhere present. You need to know all things, and that's only God.
Yeah.
So reserve your judgment. That being said, we know that there has been the scandals. Paul said that he would give all diligence to not bring reproach on the ministry in 2 Corinthians 6:4, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Paul was careful to have a job so that he'd be a model for the future, that that the ministry isn't about money, it's about ministry. And maybe the pastor has a job to help supplement the church, and also helping other people and helping poor people. They have a job to help to give to poor people, for example. So there are those rules and guidelines that are in the scripture that help us understand that I want to keep my heart right. And if money does increase, there's a psalm. If money increases, set your, not your heart upon it. So that's the test. And of course, to shift a little bit, if you Google lottery winners, and you see how many people's lives were destroyed by winning a lot of money, suddenly they become multimillionaires, and what it does to them. So money can destroy a life, you know, if you don't have the wisdom on how to manage it.
You kind of want to, tempted to share that with these people that you see lining up at these machines to buy their lottery tickets. You just kind of want to stop and say, you know, it's not all that it's cracked up to be. It could mislead you. It could destroy you. But, of course, don't do that.
How would
you counsel someone, a Christian, a born-again Christian, who, you know, senses that they have the ability to accumulate wealth, but, you know, what would we say to them? You know, I think we've already probably answered that question. But there are some who think or believe that, you know, I think this is my gift, my talent, my ability is to become wealthy and to be very successful from a financial point of view. How would we counsel such people?
Well, I would say do not set your heart on it. That's Proverbs 23 and also Matthew 6. Put your treasure in heaven. So that Jesus made it very clear in that. We didn't read the whole chapter, but he said, you know, if you have, well, later Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, if you have food and raiment, this is the Apostle Paul. You know, this is the Apostle Paul. This is, I rather go by his advice than our culture. Right now, our culture is saying accumulate wealth. Apostle Paul is saying something different. If you have food and raiment, be contented. And don't set your heart on the wealth. Because by doing so, many have been pierced through with many sorrows. there are many people that have missed the whole point of life because they got wealth and they were focused on the wealth and multiplying the wealth their whole life. Let's use some big numbers. Somebody has wealth, they have $50,000. They spend their whole life, 30 years, their whole life multiplying wealth, so now they have $100 million. They have succeeded. What have you succeeded at? Multiplying my wealth. Like, okay, what has that done for you? What has that done for you? Have you gotten, you've got businesses and houses and how are your relationships? How many friends do you have? Have you been married once or twice or what do your children think? What have you gained? Are you in a church? Do you evangelize? Have you ever thought of being a missionary? Mm. No, my calling was not to be a missionary. It was to multiply wealth. Really? Mm. I mean, that you got to be very careful with that. Why did you do that? So I would have a better life. I would have power. I would have influence. I would have prestige. I would have a lot of wealth. I would have, okay, now you die. Mm. None of it is going with you. How much family trouble have you? I'm not saying in an absolute sense. I'm just saying to consider, and this is what Jesus is saying, that you got to consider where your treasure is.
Yeah.
And if your treasure is multiplying wealth, then I would bring that into question. Because he said, put your treasure in heaven.
Wow.
What about the people around you? What about being a gracious man? Learning wisdom. What about teaching the word? What about being in a church? What about using your time to visit the poor or go to the mission field? Or your time is studying the word or putting your heart on the things that are invisible. Isn't Jesus our model?
Yeah.
Jesus was in prayer. Jesus was on the street. Jesus cared for the poor, but he fed them by miracles. Mm. He fed them by words. He fed them by love. He would disciple them.
Amazing.
And when he was finished in life, they didn't want him to go.
Because
he was
true.
So awesome as a person. Amazing. I think, to be honest, some people that are very wealthy, people are very happy to see them go.
Yeah.
Because they become like very selfish and that kind of a thing. I know I'm kind of radically, you know, digressing here. But I'm only provoking people and thinking about it.
Amen.
I don't think it's a good mission statement for your life, not to multiply wealth. That is not your mission statement. There's something else that Jesus is talking about.
You take a deceitful heart and put that with the deceitfulness of riches, you could have a disaster.
Yes.
Jenny's joining us. And Jenny, welcome to the broadcast. Go right ahead.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Schaller.
Hi.
I have been provoked to call and to make a comment. And I just love the emphasis of this particular broadcast this week on the heart. And as you were speaking, all throughout the broadcast, I thought of Amaziah. And I think he's a really good example of someone who had wealth. Of course, he was a king of Judah. But he had wealth, but his affections were set upon it. So it says in 2 Chronicles 25, I'm sure you know these verses, verse 2, it said, he did right in the Lord's sight, but not with a perfect or blameless heart. And then it goes on to say that he wanted to go to war, and he assembled the men of Judah, and but he didn't have enough men, he felt, to win this particular battle. So he hired, I think it was 100,000 mercenaries and paid, talents.
100
talents for them.
Yeah.
Talents, yeah. And, but then the man of God came to him and said, the Lord is telling you not to go into this battle with the men that you have hired, not with the men of Judah, but with the men that you've hired. He will not go with you in it, you will lose. And Amaziah, the first comment out of his mouth in verse 9 was, but what about the 100,000 talents of silver that I paid for these men. And I love it. The man of God, just like God's heart being so gracious to this man, and just said, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. And now, and initially, Amaziah agreed, okay, he sent back the hired troops and went and fought against, fought against Edom with the men from Judah, and they won. But then, I thought, as you were speaking, I looked in that chapter, and I realized that what he did then is he beat the Edomites, but then he brought back their gods to Jerusalem, and he bowed down to those gods and burned incense to them. And God was angry with him. He sent the man of God, or the prophet, again to him and warned him. But Amaziah his heart was on the money, his money and his wealth. He didn't heed the advice of the man of God and even threatened him. And the man of God warned him that this would destroy his life and destroy his kingdom. And indeed, that's what happened. He in the end of the chapter, I believe it, there was a conspiracy against him, and he died. And I thought, oh my gosh, in one of the Psalms, David says, Lord, search me and know my heart. And try me now, try me and know my thoughts and lead me and see if there be any wicked way in me, I think it says, and lead me in the way everlasting. And I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, you know, help each one of us, no matter, even if we have just $1,000 in the bank, to not set our hearts on them, to not set our affections on them, to not hold so tightly to and say, oh, the economy's getting bad and I'm going to need this. But to be very loose, to hold things very loosely, mm-hmm. As far as possessions go, and trust him.
Yes, I like that part where he paid an enormous amount of money for the troops, and then the prophet said, no, you can't do that. So he canceled it out and lost the money. And the prophet said, take the loss, take the hit. God is able to supply you with even more than that. So there are times in your life where you take a loss because you're not in the will of God. Maybe you started, but you take the loss. You know, you started and you made a payment on something, and then God says, no, it's not my will. And you just say, what should I do now? I already paid the money. And the Lord says, take the loss, take the hit. I'm able to return that to you. I'm able to give you what you really need. So in every step of the way, we should be sensitive to what God wants. And sometimes it means that we might take a loss. Yeah, and the funny thing is that though he obeyed in that way, he brought an idol back from a foreign country, and he worshipped. I think he even had the temple made based on the dimensions of that idol temple. I think it was that king. Any case, thanks so much, Jenny, for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
God bless.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, good thoughts. Well, we're out of time, but I think we've covered this subject very well today, Pastor Schaller, and just so important for us to just keep remembering that this is a heart issue. It's really not the pocketbook or the person's wallet. It's all about the heart.
Yeah, right. Amen. And then we never outgrow it. Keep your heart, guard it, and keep it soft before God. And when you realize he's able to show you if there's something not right, Philippians 3:15, he's able to make that known to you and just say to you, you know, you're loving your money too much. You're loving your family too much. You're loving your life too much. Give me your life. Trust me. And then and for you and I, we both, and Seb over here, we have a testimony.
Yeah.
That, wow, I'm very happy with the way life goes when God is in charge.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us, friends. And we encourage you to tune in to the next broadcast, the Friday edition of the Grace Hour, coming up less than 24 hours from now. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And may God bless you until tomorrow at the same time.